Hi, friends. I got the co-author of a brand new book with us today, Jeff Kinley, and I want to go through some of the bullet points that we're going to be talking about expanding on, or he will. Did you know that one out of every 30 verses in the New Testament contains prophecy? Also, there are 8,000 total prophetic verses in the Bible. 23 out of 27 New Testament books mentioned the second coming of Jesus. For every time that the first coming of Jesus is mentioned, the second coming is mentioned 8 times. The first prophecy concerning Christ is found in Genesis 3:15, and there are 333 prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. 109 were fulfilled at his first coming. So what does that leave? 224 prophecies yet to be fulfilled. The book is called Answering Tough Questions About the End Times. Author Jeff Kinley and Todd Hampson will be right back to talk about it on Worldview Matters.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Well, friends, welcome. It's so great to have the men and women of God on this podcast to talk to and inspire us and encourage us and inform us and teach us. And that's why I love men of God like Jeff Kinley. Brother, thank you for all you do and for all the great books you put out. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's always good to be with you, brother.
Yes, it's good to have you. Now, when we had Todd Hampson on, your co-author, it was before the book came out. We were talking about other things. We did tease the book, but we didn't have it. Now I have it in hand, and it is amazing because there's so much to know. There's so much, but tough questions about the end times. There's a lot of them, and you come up with 100 Q&As about Bible prophecy. It seems like that's a lot, but I know there are a lot more questions that you didn't include. What was that process like of putting this together?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, there are hundreds and hundreds of questions that I get, Todd gets, that we get together, that maybe one day we'll do a volume two of this. But yeah, it's 100 of some of the top questions that we get. You know, some people may say, well, some of these questions are kind of basic. But in all honesty, as we travel around the country and around the world, we find that most Christians don't know about these issues and certainly don't know the answers to the questions. And so we wanted to put together, David, sort of a foundational approach to the end times, Bible prophecy, and answer some of the biggies there that people are asking out there.
Okay, before we jump into it a little bit more in depth, Jeff, tell us about Prophecy Pros Academy.
Yeah, this is one of the most exciting ventures that I've been a part of. Todd Hampson and I came up with this idea of the Prophecy Pros Academy. It's basically bridging that gap between Sunday and seminary and helping people get a seminary-type experience without having to actually go to seminary. It's a three-year curriculum. We have 12 total modules, 4 modules a year. We cover everything from bibliology, hermeneutics, theology proper, Christology. And then the final third year, David, is all about eschatology and the end times. So we've got a lot of people signed up for it, and some lives are being definitely changed.
Bridging the gap between Sunday and seminary. That is a gap that needs to be bridged, especially depending on some seminaries out there that are woke or seeker sensitive or talk about church growth and avoid Bible prophecy. Oh, my goodness, the problems. But that's why I'm thankful you guys are doing this. One more thing I saw on your website. You've got a cruise coming up. In a couple weeks, you'll be in, where are you going with Jack Hibbs and Todd Hampson? Alaska. Can people still sign up?
Okay, so that particular cruise is 2026, so that's a year out.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and oddly enough, Jack Hibbs, Todd Hampson, and myself, and it's sponsored by Harvest House Publishers. But David, here's the thing. It's already filling up. So I encourage people to hop on. I don't know how many people we can hold on this ship, but several hundred have already signed up for this thing. And I am going on a cruise in a couple of weeks with John Ankerberg and Gary Hamrick. And we'll also be going to Alaska. So I think that one's pretty full as well.
Oh, my goodness. Another couple amazing men of God, Ankerberg and Gary Hamrick. Yes. I love his election sermons, by the way. Pastor Gary. So let's jump into the book. It's available at christianbook.com, amazon.com. You can get the links on Jeff's website, jeffkinley.com, as well as information on the Prophecy Pros and other things. But let's jump around a little bit, Jeff. One of the things I really wanted to get to was the canonization process, which you lay out in on page 39, what was taught about eschatology in the early church. And I just found this time frame from A.D. 35 to A.D. 397 very fascinating, very important as far as how the Bible came to us, right? Can you share a little bit more about that? And you can mention each one if you'd want, however you want to present that.
Yeah, so basically, you know, when we think about how did we get our Bible, how did it come together, it was really a process, much like Revelation was a process in terms of God revealing himself over the course of 1,500 years and three different continents, 40 different authors, three different languages. And so when we came to the New Testament like was being written from about AD 50 on up to AD 95. And then as those letters began to be circulated around the church, the first a couple of years, it took a while for the church to sort of land on, okay, these are the recognized divine authorship of books that we have in the New Testament canon. And so it took a couple hundred years for some councils to come together. I've listed for you here that there was, AD 200 was the Muratorian canon. And this person named L.A. Muratori discovered a canon list in the Milan Library that included the Synoptic Gospels, Pauline Epistles, 1st, 2nd John, Jude, Revelation. But it was not until really about the 4th century till the church really came together and said, look, we're not picking which books are going in the Bible. We're just recognizing the ones that God seems to have divinely authored by an apostle, by someone who knew Christ, that type of thing. So, you know, church history is not just a neat little bow that's been, tied up, but it took a while to come together. But now that we have these books, we can see the reasons why other books were left out, other apocryphal books, pseudepigraphal books that were left out. And these really kind of rose to the top as the ones that evidence divine authorship.
So I want to go back to, thank you for explaining that, AD 110, where it says, every book of the New Testament cited except two, by Ignatius, Clement of Rome, and Polycarp. By AD 150, the apostolic fathers cited every New Testament book as authoritative. Explain that again for us.
Yeah, so that makes sense because you think about the people that are closest in history to the actual writings of the book, to the men who are actually alive at the time, would be recognizing these things. So the early church, there was also an extra biblical document called the Didache, or the Teaching of the Twelve. So we knew who the apostles were. We knew who the authors of scripture were at that time. We knew the books that were being circulated that the church was recognizing as being authoritative. And so really early on, there was an unofficial sort of recognition of the canon. But then as a couple of hundred years went on, it became sort of the official doctrine of the church to accept the 27 books that we now call our New Testament.
So I did a little studying on a man named Athanasius of Alexandria, and in AD 367, you cite on page 39 in your book that Athanasius, he was a bishop of Alexandria. He listed all 27 books in his Paschal letter, and this is the earliest complete canon of the New Testament. So that was AD 367. So it's interesting the progression of all this and what the necessary steps that had to be taken, and the books were scrutinized. I mean, I've heard about the Gospel of Thomas and just different things. Anything you want to share on that before we move on, Jeff?
Yeah, just again that, you know, sometimes people will cite extra biblical sources, even when it relates to Bible prophecy, as being sort of authoritative. And my caution in that is just to say we only have one book and one set of books that we know is the actual Word of God. So even though there may be some truth in those books, we don't need to kind of swallow it hook, line, and sinker and accept the whole document.
Yeah, you can learn things. There's historical facts and a lot of information in some of these books. But again, they're not inspired and authoritative. Right. Very important points. But that's just fascinating, again, how the Bible came together. And then even in the midst of attack, right?
That's absolutely.
Let's jump to, because of the times that we're living in, what we're seeing happening in Israel, even to the Jews, the explosion of demonic anti-Semitism. Let's go to page 101. And there's a question: how should Christians view the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? And Jeff, there's unfortunately so much ignorance, not just in America, but in the church about this. So share a little bit on that one.
Yeah, what people fail to recognize is that God Almighty gave the land to the Jews, promised that to Abraham in the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 12, 15, and 17. And so by right of God, they have a claim to that land. Now, you say, well, wait a minute, how do we know that that's true? Well, you have Jesus Christ, who validated all of the Old Testament and was a descendant of, you know, that lineage of Abraham. And of course, he's the one that rose from the dead. So he's the ultimate authority that validates the Old Testament. So you have their claim to the land. Now that Israel's in the land, which, by the way, is the greatest miracle of all time, historically speaking, that a country, a group of people that have been scattered for 20 centuries would somehow miraculously come back. And oh, by the way, the Bible prophesied that would happen. And so they're now in the land. But what the Bible also says, David, is that in the last days, there's going to be great conflict and great hatred of the Jewish people. And this is exactly what we're seeing. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 24 that all the nations would hate the Jewish people at the end of the age because of their relationship to him. And of course, Zechariah says all the nations will gather around Jerusalem in the last days as well. So I think we're seeing some of the precursors of this, some of the ebb and flow, to be sure, but also I think it validates and really documents what the Bible says all along.
So where would you direct a Christian believer watching or listening whose pastor maybe doesn't talk about Bible prophecy and maybe didn't even mention Israel to pray for Israel or Jerusalem, even since October 7, almost 2 years ago, a year and a half ago? How would you encourage them to lovingly and respectfully approach their pastor on that? Because Christians need to support Israel.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was a pastor for over 30 years. So anytime someone came up afterwards with a question, I didn't know whether someone used to jokingly say, I didn't know whether to duck or kit or turn my cheek to get a kiss. You know, it's like, are they going to compliment you? Or are they going to whack you upside the head? So we certainly don't want people to come in an accusatory manner or spirit or to put the pastor on the defensive, but simply to ask an honest question. You know, Pastor, what are your beliefs concerning the last days? What are your beliefs concerning Israel? Do you think Israel has any significance in these last days? And from his answer, you'll find out a world of information. In fact, I received an email this morning from a woman on the East Coast who simply just said, my pastor mocks this whole idea of Bible prophecy and the rapture and Israel. And it just tells me that, you know, some pastors themselves are not actually trained and equipped to be able to teach on some of these subjects because they may be bivocational or a seminary they went to didn't teach them. But just ask the question. Maybe sit down over coffee or something if you have that kind of access and just find out. Let them speak to you and you listen. That'd be the first step. And then basically, depending on what he says and his approach to it, that gives you a good idea as to whether or not you're ever going to hear a sermon on prophecy or whether or not that's really a healthy place for you to be, biblically speaking.
Yes, and that's very important too. And I know it's hard because of family or friends to make a decision to move on and find a good Bible-believing church that covers all this. Yeah. But anyway, friends, we've got Jeff Kinley with us. You can check out the book at jeffkinley.com on Amazon. We've got more coming up on Worldview Matters.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
Friends, right now, Freedom Project Academy is enrolling students for this fall with live, anytime, and homeschool courses for pre-kindergarten through the 12th grade. And to celebrate 15 years of academic excellence, we're offering a 15% discount on all courses on our Judeo-Christian online school. Visit freedomforschool.com. That's freedom, F-O-R, school.com. Use the code David15 to save 15%. That's David15 to save 15% on all courses at Freedom Project Academy. So, Jeff Kinley, we're jumping around quite a bit, and there's just so many great questions, 100, that either they're going to refresh people's memories on what you share, you and Todd, how you answer the questions, or they're going to be very eye-opening and informative because there's so many. We have a lot of questions. There's a lot of things in the Bible we don't know, but that's why it's so great to have books like this as a resource. So one thing that I find to be fascinating is people talk about heaven and whether we will work or what are we going to do, what kind of state we'll be in. But on page 77 of your book, the question is, what will we do in heaven between the rapture and the second coming? So there's a timeline there. And you say this is one of the most frequent questions you get. So people want to know. Jeff, tell us about it.
Yeah, well, the Bible actually does tell us a lot about what we're going to be doing in heaven. The first thing that I would mention is that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says that when the Lord returns, that he's going to evaluate us and basically do what we call the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ. It's the reward ceremony. It's finding out who got what award. And that's one of the things we're going to experience during that seven-year period of tribulation. The second thing is that we're going to be able to celebrate the marriage of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. And Revelation 19, verses 7 and 9 tells us that that marriage has already taken place by the end of the tribulation period. So if you think about the time while we're up in heaven, people think, well, gosh, we're going to be watching it on YouTube, you know, what's happening on the earth. It's like, no, we're going to be celebrating. We're going to be worshiping Christ. Revelation chapter 4 tells us that we're going to be around the throne with the crowns that we've been given by Jesus Christ, worshiping him. So we'll see Christ, we'll be with Christ, we'll worship Christ, we'll receive rewards from Christ, and we'll celebrate the marriage union with Christ, being the bride.
And there's a lot of scriptures that you cite in there, a lot of them, you know, about some of the details there. I like the one about the crowns, because, you know, Paul talks about it, we all receive a crown. It's not a crown of thorns, though. It's the crown of life. Mm-hmm. And so what a blessing to get into some of the details here and actually understand more about it. So let's jump over to page 139. A lot of people have different understandings of the Antichrist and the spirit of the Antichrist. And like in this day and age, there's so much off-the-charts darkness and demonic activity, so much Antichrist activity. But it is also a person, too. And so explain, what is the spirit of the Antichrist?
Yeah, well, John explains in 1 John 4 that every spirit that does not confess Jesus as God is essentially the spirit of Antichrist. And why this is so important, prophetically speaking, David, is because as we move closer to the last days and the tribulation period, that there's only going to be one narrative that's allowed to be portrayed in the world. And that's the narrative that says that Antichrist is God. And so the man of sin, the man of lawlessness is going to be energized by Satan. And that spirit of Antichrist is denying everything associated with Jesus Christ. And then if you look at just sort of the other little moons in the orbit around Antichrist, you see anti-Semitism. You see a globalist regime because he doesn't want God to rule the world. He wants to rule the world. And you see sexual immorality being promoted. You see violence being promoted. All of these things are part of the spirit of Antichrist. And obviously denying the word of God, denying the Son of God is at the core of what the spirit of Antichrist really is all about.
So now we don't have enough time to do this one justice. Let's talk about signs. And early on in your book, page 57 and onward, there you mention earthquakes. You mention positive signs and negative signs, spiritual signs, technological signs, cultural signs. Just touch on whichever one or two of those you would like to, Jeff.
I think one of the cultural signs we see, obviously, is 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about There'll be terrible times in the last days. He says people will be lovers of self, lovers of money. I mean, think
Check,
about this, just
check.
the whole, yeah, selfie generation. I mean, we are obsessed with ourselves. If you go to the average young person's phone, you're going to find thousands of pictures, not of space or the universe or nature. It's of themselves. And we are so obsessed with ourselves today, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. It goes much deeper with that. He goes on to talk about boastful, proud, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without self-control. There's a really part of that spirit of the age, that deception is thinking that the individual really is the supreme authority on everything. And so it's like, it's my body, it's my choice, it's my life. And the Bible has a whole different narrative. Jesus says, no, you belong to me. I'm the Lord and you're the servant. And that Christianity flips the world's narrative up on its end. But that's where the world is headed. And that's a huge sign of the last days. In a positive sense, there's going to be an increase in the preaching of the gospel in the last days. And Jesus says during the tribulation, the gospel will be preached to every single person on the planet. And then after that, he says, that's when the end will come.
Amen, brother. Oh gosh, revival. So would revival or spiritual awakenings, would that be considered a sign?
I think it certainly is a precursor of what God's going to do on a grand scale in Revelation chapter 7 during the tribulation, where untold millions will come to Jesus Christ in a last great revival.
All right, let's jump real quick because the time's going by really fast with you. Convergence, big word. I've heard it used quite a bit in the last maybe 3 to 5 years, especially since COVID and the push for globalism and that kind of technology, the World Economic Forum and some of the ideologies there. Talk about on page 63, one of the signs, convergence.
Well, think about it. God is telling a great story. I mean, God is the author of history. It really is his story. And so he is bringing all things to a dramatic conclusion, just like a movie that sort of wraps up everything in the end. That's what God's doing. But it's all ending at the point where Jesus Christ comes back to this earth to claim what is his. But these prophetic signs that we see, some of them in very embryonic form, some of them more developed, but we see all these things converging, just like little tributaries coming into a mighty river, and the river is God's prophetic narrative for the last days. So that's why when we talk about signs, David, it's important for us to know which ones have taken place, which ones are in the process of taking place. We don't want to get out ahead of God, but at the same time, we don't want to be ignorant. We want to recognize what the Lord is doing.
So, Jeff, answering tough questions about the end times. How about you mentioned one of the most common questions you got is, would there be one that, or a couple of questions that stand out as maybe surprising that you and Todd got and go, wow, that's interesting, and you decided to put it in the book?
Yeah, well, we talk about Israel a lot in the book, and that's something that, some people are just now cluing into. So that's sort of a surprise with people out there. But the questions that we get more than anything else are questions about the rapture, because the rapture is under such incredible attack today, even from within the church. And so people have a lot of questions about the rapture. Normally, when Todd and I travel together, we try to stay over on a Sunday, maybe preach a Sunday morning service and have an entire message on the rapture, objections to the rapture. Here's how we know that it's true. Here's how we know when it takes place. So it's all about equipping the body of Christ and answering those questions wherever we go.
And that's important. It's important to know what's going to happen, and the hope. It's so encouraging, to read some of these scriptures. Before we let you go, there's two other things I wanted to ask you about. One, your podcast, Vintage Truth Podcast. People can get that on your website. Any other outlets?
Yeah, they can just go to either on YouTube to my ministry, which is Vintage Truth TV, or the Real Life Network with Jack Hibbs. You can catch the Vintage Truth podcast. And that's the one where I get to be a pastor again, as I've got about over 500 episodes teaching everything from books of the Bible to doctrine to Christian life stuff. So it's a little bit of a smorgasbord of everything.
And the program on the Real Life Network, that's The King Is Coming.
Yes, I took over the teaching duties from Dr. Ed Heinzen when he passed away. And so you can catch The King Is Coming on the Real Life Network. Some great things going on with The King Is Coming.
Okay, you did a little roundtable recently with, Josh Schwartz, Ken Michael, Mark Henry. Gen Z is asking about the end of the world. And then here's the answer. So it's, what is it? There is an answer there, but Gen Z, it's interesting. We kind of felt like we lost youth when the millennials were coming up, and now Gen Z seems to be more spiritually interested. Tell us briefly about that.
Oh, goodness. This is so exciting. I wish we had more time to talk about this. Todd Hampson and I were out at Jack Hibbs Church last year. The three of us combined to teach youth at a youth prophecy conference. David, there were 1,000 kids who showed up. Several hundred gave their lives to Christ. 1,000 more were watching online. From that, Todd and I, along with another ministry partner, are launching an entire ministry called Future Hope to reach young people with the positive, hopeful message of Bible prophecy. We're going to be doing conferences all over the country. It's so incredibly exciting. And I'll just say to your listeners and watchers, look out. The young people of America are about to catch on to what God's doing in the world today.
Oh, Lord Jesus, let it be so. Amen. I've been encouraged by what I've seen happen on some college campuses, not the anti-Semitism, but football teams having the national champs last year. Now, I'm a Michigan man, but the Ohio State Buckeyes, kudos to those young men of God who were preaching the gospel. They were getting college kids baptized on campus. They got away with it because they're athletes. They got away with it, but they were preaching. There's some great, bold, outspoken young men, Christians on that team, on other teams. And I've never seen, Jeff, that last year. I don't watch a lot of sports like I used to, but when you watch certain games or see, I'm always curious to see what the winners say at the end. And how many of them glorified my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was so encouraged. Right. Now, you might think, some might think, well, it's just words. Hopefully they're living it out. Yes, pray for them. But I was encouraged that these young people seemed to need something because we missed, there was a big gap there where we were falling away from God, conforming to the world. The church in America is not as influential. I know I'm preaching to the choir, so you've got 1 minute to share whatever's on your heart based on what I was saying about the young people or whatever's on your heart, Jeff.
Absolutely. And yeah, it's happening among teenagers, junior high and high school students. And what we're seeing is they are asking some of the most substantive, meaty, deep questions. It's not shallow stuff. They want to know. And so we just look around and go, well, God, why not us? Why not now? Here am I, Lord, send me. And so we're launching out in this ministry. Please pray for Future Hope Ministries, that God would continue to just give us open doors. And so there'll be a lot more about that coming from myself and Todd and the Prophecy Pros. But it's an exciting thing that God is doing. And I think another reason why he's doing it, David, is because we are in the last days. Yes. God's reaping a huge harvest before Jesus Christ returns.
We're getting close. Friends, answering tough questions, jeffkinley.com. Brother, thank you for all you do. Hard to keep up with you guys sometimes because you're all over the place, but we appreciate your ministries very much. So appreciate your time today, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you, David, as always.
Friends, God bless you. Share the podcast. Check out these books. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.